The first question is, everybody, what's the difference between physical and metaphysical?
Physical is the one you can touch and
okay,
and experience with your own body. And metaphysical is something that you just, it's more an energy, more kind of out of the material experience.
When you think very much in terms of the words we use and how words are used, because words are something that we communicate with. They represent ideas, they represent concepts. So I'm very much a Zen Buddhist in that I think words can be completely superfluous and extraneous to the experience of living, which means not related, they don't need to be there, and they can be completely outside the actual realm of living. And yet, in order to have this experience that we're having right now, we need to communicate by words. So the first thing I want to encourage you to do is whenever you read a text, really look at the words first and what words are chosen to express the text. And that's the first thing, before you even respond to it. You know, so often, and we went through this, was it last discourse, the discourse two discourses ago, of how I asked a question, do you remember, and how you all responded more about your feelings than related to the question? Do you recall that, something vaguely in the discourse a couple of times ago? And I said, see, you guys have all responded to what you feel. You haven't answered the question of what is this. The best way to solve that, the easiest tool you have is the word. Both the written word, the printed word, and the spoken word. And isn't that interesting? Why is that the easiest tool? Because what does it combine? It combines breath. We all know how important breath is, right? With physical action, which is vocal cord control, right? If I want to say something and I just go, that doesn't say anything. I have to form words, whether it's in Turkish or in English or in Hebrew or in Italian or in Russian or in Spanish or in Vietnamese, I have to form words. And the forming of the words, as we talked about before, is an incredibly complex and constructed movement in our brain, right? Think about it. We have to go all the way back to birth, because that's when we first hear sound. Actually, in utero, not even birth, we hear sound. And sound is molded into shapes, but more like clay. We have this, and I'm going to use English since we're using English today. We have this thing that has a long back and two things sticking out that becomes an F. And we call that F. Then we have something that looks like a circle, it becomes an O. We call it an O. Then we have something that has a long back and a big chest and a leg coming down. We call that an R. R. And then we put together and it's four, right? It's not F-O-R, it's four. And then four becomes a preposition in between cooking for you, right? Everybody following me? Then on top of that, there's the grammar. In German, the verb comes at the end. Right? In English, the verb comes in the middle. In, you know, other languages, they're completely different. And then there's some languages with vowels, like Semitic languages, Hebrew and Arabic, have vowels that sometimes you don't even write when you start to learn how to speak. So here is a presumption in a language that not only do you know the shapes and the sounds of the consonants and put them together in the meanings, but you can even take away the sounds and you should remember what that sound is contextually to how it's being used in the sentence. Does everybody follow me? Does everybody get, you understand what I'm saying? Tiziana, you understand? Quinn, yeah. You understand? Yeah. So all of this is happening when you use words. So the word is the combination of the breath. You have to have the breath. Without the breath, there's no sound. The control of vocal cords and all the mental processes, which is a tremendous amount of stuff that goes along with it. It's kind of, in my opinion, overwhelming and awe-inspiring, because I haven't even discussed at all the emotions that come with words, right? Like the first time we experienced a ball, or a better example is bicycle. All of us some have some association with the first time our parent tried to teach us how to ride a bicycle, and either we had a great time, or we were angry, or we fell off, or we were scared or something, right? So not only do we have the form, the shape, the sound, the combination, this usage, but we have all the emotions that go along with that that are still inside us. Everybody follow so far?
Yeah. I love when we have, when you're in an international group, like you're saying, and you hear someone say a word, and it sounds so different. Forget the accent, but the intonation and the emotion and the passion and how it comes out, and it sounds like a completely different word.
Exactly. And so words are very important. So getting back to the first leap that I took today, words, that's your first tool. The spoken, the written, and the printed. Today we're talking about the printed. So when you read something, right away, you look at the words that are being used and you ask yourself, what do these words mean? What is the meaning of the word? So let's get back to our first question. What was the first question of today? Anybody want to say out? I asked everybody.
Physical and metaphysical.
The difference between physical and metaphysical. So let's look at the words. The word is physical. The word is metaphysical. So physical means physical world, right? That's simple. We're not going to get into the whole analysis of how we create the word and the sound. Just that represents physical world. Metaphysical is two parts. It represents meta, which means what? In Latin, anybody?
Metodo, I think.
No, method. It doesn't come from metodo.
No?
No. Mm-hmm. Metodo is with
the mean whole?
Huh?
Earth. Is it earth?
Earth, it means...
like the whole...
Okay, if you going back to ancient Greek, meta, it's big, right?
Big, yeah. Big data, yeah.
Yeah, big. So meta means everything or beyond. So you have physical.
Beyond, yeah.
Yeah, and you have metaphysical, which means beyond physical, right? By using the analysis of the expressions of what the meaning of what's being said, read, or printed. Okay? So physical is the physical world. Metaphysical means beyond the physical world. Okay? In fact, I'm going to give you a little homework assignment for next week. Why don't you pick out a few words? You know what? I will pick out a list of 10 words. And I'll put it on the group. And then for next week, everybody can write just kind of what do those words mean by the, just analyze the words by the word itself without anything else attached to it if you can, okay? That's good. So if meta, if physical means physical and metaphysical means beyond physical, then what's the difference again between physical and metaphysical?
Metaphysical is mainly abstract.
And beyond the
physical
world.
Beyond the senses.
Beyond the senses, exactly. Well, beyond the senses, again, going back to words, beyond the senses, it depends how we define senses, right? Because if we have intuition as part of senses, it may be that we're still in the senses. But yes, technically, on a general speaking for the average person, yes, beyond the senses. Now, the person who really separated physical and metaphysical, the person who gets all the credit for it, I don't know if that actually is the person, is Aristotle in Western philosophy. Because in Asian philosophy, whether it's Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism, Hinduism, Jainism, there almost is no separation between the physical and metaphysical. There's a description of manifestations. This manifests in the physical world, this manifests in the metaphysical world. But they're not separated. Is that clear? They're both emanation. Do you know the word emanation? Emanation is something that comes from. It emanates from. They're both emanations of or manifestations of reality, the physical and the beyond the physical. Whereas in the Greek system, after Aristotle, there was a very clear separation between what's the physical world, the five senses, and the metaphysical world, which is inner things of the mind. Okay, that's where it's associated with. Why are we discussing this today, okay? Ask the question that we asked in a previous discourse. How do you know what is real? What is your reality? That's a question for you all.
You sense it, you think it.
Okay, let's break that down. What does sense it mean?
Well, your senses send messages to your mind.
Okay, so what happens, let's use another word rather than sense. Can I offer the option to change that out for perceive rather than sense first?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just with the desire to be more precise. You perceive it, okay? And then after you perceive it, what do you do with it?
Mostly suffer.
That you only know after many, many years.
You process it.
You process it, okay? That means you somehow categorize it, you kind of interpret it, right? Okay, so you perceive it. I mean, we have Buddha Dharma terminology, but today is our discussion is based on Stoicism, so we're using Western terminology. You perceive it, and then you somehow process it or interpret it, okay? So what gives you your reality? Your abilities to do what?
Perceive.
Again? Someone that came across confused. Two people at once spoke.
Sorry, yes. The ability to process, to perceive it first.
Okay.
If you are blind, you cannot see colors. So you cannot process it as another person.
Okay.
That ability to perceive it, your body.
Okay, well, let's call it, again, words. Maybe the word capability is better than the word ability. Ability is something that go up and down. Capability is the absolute possibility to be able to. So the possibility to perceive something, definitely. And then how you do what with it? We just said?
How
you process it. Right, exactly. How you process it. Okay. So your capability to perceive it and then how you process it starts to give you an image, both a physical and a metaphysical. Now, if we say physical means physical, what would metaphysical refer to?
It's beyond the physical, would the metaphysical be what is going on in our minds?
Great. Let's give that some, let's call those things some. Remember, we're not using Buddha Dharma at the moment. We're using common language terms. Let's give those some names. What would we call those things?
Feelings.
What else? My favorite enemy emotion. In the mind. Emotions. Okay. What else?
Conditioning,
okay.
Clinging.
Okay. Clinging, thoughts, etc. The whole mental process. Now remember, when I use the term mental process, I include in it, and I encourage you to do the same, all the chemistry that goes along with that.
I was going to say it, yeah.
Because there's hormones, there's neurotransmitters, there's electrical signals, there's muscle contractions. Although that would actually be part of the physical world, it's very closely, integrally related to the metaphysical world. Does everybody understand?
No.
No? Somebody no?
I said no, because I mean, no, I don't understand, because for me, that's physical. All the hormonal and physical reaction that you get in your body when you process things and something that is from outside your body.
Okay, so you're reading a newspaper, okay?
Right.
You're reading a newspaper at the brand new news, and, yep, and she reads that they're going to tear up all the ancient buildings and build big plastic skyscrapers. Oh, look at her reaction already, okay? So what's the physical part of that?
Just the reaction.
Beyond that, what's the physical? Everybody can answer. What's the physical part of?
Well, I saw Tiziana, her face immediately went back. She went like this. I could see her neck tightening a little bit as she said it.
Right, before I even said it. Before that, before she reacted, what's the physical part?
Just the thoughts of it, that they're horrible.
But how do you get the thoughts? You get the thoughts from either
hearing it.
An image, right, in your mind.
Hearing it from me or reading it in the paper. I created it, right? So the physical is the printed matter or the sound. Okay? Then you have your reaction to it, and that's in the brain, right? That's the metaphysical. The reaction in the brain then leads into further physical reactions of the hormones and neurotransmitters, the stress, cortisol, and then all the contractions.
Yeah.
So do you see, it's a cycle that's constantly moving. The physical to the metaphysical to the physical to the metaphysical. It's this ping pong game or tennis game, whatever you want to call it. Okay. So they are integrally related. They can't be separated. So any division between the two is a false division, which is something that Asian philosophy makes very clear, but Western philosophy after Aristotle most often separated. In fact, I read a very interesting, there's a very interesting page that I just found on Wikipedia it just proved how uneducated I am, about Buddhism and psychology. And it's a fascinating page. I highly recommend going to Wikipedia and just put Buddhism and psychology. And it gives an interaction of modern day psychology and Buddhist thought. And it then gives analysis of psychology from a Buddhist point of view and Buddhism analyzed from a psychological point of view. And it is actually the fundamental foundation for what is called today engaged Buddhism. We talked about that a few discourses ago, engaged Buddhism. And I found it very interesting to read it because Asian philosophies didn't have a separate category called psychology, because the mind was seen to be part of everything. Everything was part of everything. So when you have in Chinese thinking the five elements, or in Buddha Dharma, the four basic elements, and then you have the formations, or in Hinduism, you have the different doshas and the different aspects in Vedic thinking. It's all psychology, physical and metaphysical are actually two sides to the same coin, or they're not even that. They're two aspects to the surface of a sphere. Whereas somehow in Western world, we have separated science, the physical, that's what we're calling it today, science, and the metaphysical, which is usually religion in Western society, but now it's developed into psychology and into philosophy and to ethics, other things. Or jurisprudence, that means law. That's the metaphysical. And this separation is a big source of tension and problems, in my opinion, in modern thought, modern social thought. Whereas in Asian thought, you didn't have this separation. The weakness, the strength of that was it allowed Western society to focus a tremendous amount on science and come up with all these amazing things like what we have right now, even the reason we can communicate through Zoom and computers, or put a rover on Mars and communicate with it. But at the same time, the price that was paid was the connection to the metaphysical, or the aspects that are concomitant, which means happening at the same time with the physical. And it created a human trend to categorize and prioritize the need to prioritize, not to prioritize, the need to prioritize one over the other. And so you have these atheists and scientists who say all that stuff is nonsense, and you have these theists and everything and saying all that side is nonsense, and it's this big fight.